Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands. Just lift your hands and just worship the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. Father, open our eyes. May we see Jesus more and more and more. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We ask you right now, Father, to speak to our hearts, to change our lives. Awaken us. Enlighten our eyes, lest we sleep the sleep of death. Awaken our senses, spiritual senses, the senses of our inward man, that we might perceive, that we might know and understand what you're doing, who you are, what you're wanting to do in us, through us, around us. We thank you, Father. Thank you that you're raising up a mighty army right here in Douglas, Arizona. Thank you that you're raising up an army of lovers, an army of people who are madly in love with you, willing to do anything, willing to lay down their lives, people who want to waste their lives on Jesus Christ in your presence. May we be that people, Lord. May we be that people. A contagious people. Contagious, full of joy, full of glory. Walking in a peace that passes all understanding because we know our God. Oh, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We worship you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Have your way in this place, Lord. I ask you to do a work that only you can do in each and every life here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to just speak with you just for a little while. And then I want to, if we could come back and continue to worship the Lord. But let's get into the Word just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ezekiel for a second. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture, which was brought to my attention from a book I'm just finished reading called The Pursuit of the Holy. And I would recommend that book, The Pursuit of the Holy by Corey Russell, to you if you like to read. Are y'all doing okay? Yes. Amen. Now, just because I'm talking doesn't mean we stop having an attitude of worship, and if you want to lay on the floor, whatever you want to do, as long as it doesn't distract other people from hearing the Word, please be my guest. There's been times where I've been in meetings where the pastor was speaking and I didn't hear a word he said because the Spirit of God was dealing with me about something else. Amen. Crucial decision that I made, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, I found myself in Pakistan for the first time. 3 weeks after that, we had 2,700 decisions for Christ. So it's good that, you know, we're listening to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so you just continue to have that attitude of worship. But this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. In Ezekiel 1, in Ezekiel 2, and in Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel begins to have visions from God. And he sees God on his throne. He sees, I forget if it was the cherubim or seraphim, or he calls them the four living creatures. And it was cherubim, I believe, but it doesn't really matter. And anyway, but I want you to know, I've never saw this before. Verse 15 of chapter 3. I want you to see this. Chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And then I came to the captives at Tel Abib who dwelt at the river Chebar." Now notice this. "And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days." Now when's the last time you sat astonished for 7 days? Huh? Did the adventures do that to you? Star Wars? Huh? I was thrilled when my Buckeyes beat, well, I'm always thrilled when they beat Michigan, but especially when they beat the Miami Hurricanes in the national championship 2002, 2003. But you know, I was screaming and shouting, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I didn't sit astonished for 7 days. Amen. There is nothing on this planet that can cause that kind of response and reaction out of you. Only the glory of God. Only the presence of God. So why do we settle for anything less? Amen? Praise God. Why do we settle for anything less? Last I checked, there's nothing that this earth, there's nothing that this world can offer that can do that. And we were made to be astonished. Yes. Hallelujah. We were made to be transformed as we behold the glory of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? Glory to God. Amen. That's an awesome verse, isn't it? Yes. Amen. God wants us to have encounters with himself and then become an encounter to other people. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians. This was a passage that was on my heart today as I was praying, meditating. And we'll see how we'll plug it in, fit it into everything else. But 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. How about this? "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." How many know that story? Genesis 1, "Let there be light," and out of nothing, boom, light comes. He created the light. Now think of it, this is supernatural. Just, I don't know, he just did this to show he is God. Before he created the stars, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Amen. Well, here it says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What a profound scripture. Amen. He is shining in us. He initially did when you received Christ, when you were born again and became a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. That process began right there. But he's not done. Amen. He's, as we yield ourselves to him, as we spend time with him, as we feed on his word, God begins to shine in our hearts light, light, so that we have a revelation of his glory, which is found in the face of Jesus Christ, who now dwells on the inside of you. Interesting. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Moses said, "Show me your glory." God said, "Well, my face you can't see." Amen. "No, you can't see my face. You can see my hind parts, but you can't see my face." But now the glory is in us. It's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, in his person, in his presence. I don't fully understand all of that, but one day I will. Amen. If not sooner or later. Go to Psalm 119. Some of this I already shared in Mexico, but you weren't there. Psalm 119. How many like your Bibles? Take your Bible, pick it up, put your finger in Psalm 119, and give it a big kiss. Amen. Let there be a love in your heart for his word. Yeah. Amen. Whatever it takes. Sometimes it takes just go buy another Bible so you can go mark it up again and start thinking about it again. Sometimes it takes just go buy another Bible so it's something new. Smell the leather. And then open it up and start reading it. Get it in you. Whatever it takes, get it in you. It's God speaking to you and me. Flat out. Jesus said, have you not read what God spoke to you saying? He asked that question. Think about it. Have you not read what God spoke to you saying? I think it was around Matthew 23 he said that. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you not read what God spoke to you saying? Wow. His word is God's. It's him. He's speaking to us. So here in Psalm 119, are you with me? Look at verse 18. It says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes. That was a prayer of David. And I tell you, that's a prayer of mine. I'm praying this constantly. Open my eyes that I might see, modern English, wonderful things out of thy law. Amen. Now, go to verse 37. Woo. Yeah. This is the kicker right here. This can be the determining factor of whether you experience verse 18. Verse 37. What's it say? Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Worthless things. Well, that definitely obviously includes sinful things, but it also includes things of no value. Amen. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have some entertainment and things like that, but I'm telling you, don't settle for earthly pleasures that not necessarily sinful when there is a pleasure that will cause you to be, could potentially cause you to be astonished for 7 days. Can you imagine? He came over here, he sat down, and he was astonished for 7 days. Think about it. It wasn't a time of prayer and fasting. It wasn't a time of even trying to seek God per se. He just had an encounter with God. He's just stunned for 7 days. Think about it. So I'm telling you, the things that we do like to do, and they're okay to do, there's nothing wrong with them, they don't compare to the potential that we could be seeing, what we could be experiencing. No comparison. So we need to come to grips with that. See, God's not trying to kill your joy. He's not trying to take away all your fun. He wants you to have fun. But I'm telling you, the greatest fun you and I will ever have is in his presence. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. Can you say amen? Amen. But I'm telling you, if you're going to have his manifest presence, you're going to have to become a lover of his word. Amen. You know, I experience the wonderful beauty of my wife only when I value her word. If I don't give her the time of day, if I don't sit down and look her in the eye when she's talking to me, well, you can just forget. I'm not going to experience anything else from my wife. Are you listening to me? If you're going to experience God, you're going to have to value his holy word because he's one with his word. Can you say amen? So go to verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. Here's David just crying out from his inward man. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. When it's your meditation all the day, God's going to begin opening your eyes to behold wonderful things out of his law, out of his word. Can you say amen? Now you go down to over to Ephesians chapter 1. Here's a prayer I'm constantly praying. In fact, let me tell you, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, our sister Denise read Ephesians, this prayer, this morning. When I was, I had just graduated from Rhema, married my wife, working long hours at a restaurant, Harvest Buffet, was Heritage House, then they changed it to Harvest Buffet, then they shut it down after we left. Now it's Harley Davidson. But I remember I'd work these hours. It was a big restaurant, and so sometimes I was a waiter, a server, and my serving station was on the far end, the opposite side of the building of where cups, the clean cups and dishes and so forth and so on were. And you know, we when it wasn't really busy, the waiters were responsible for taking the dirty dishes back to the dishwasher. You know, we get them out of it was a buffet, so there's a lot of dishes. So we're collecting the dishes and putting them in the whatever, the containers, and then we'd roll them back and give it to the dishwasher man and get clean new containers and bring them back and get ready and get our cups, make sure we had enough stocked, ready to serve more people that are coming. Well, anyway, down the hallway to the dishwasher room was a little closet for people to hang their coats, and there was a shelf in there. Man, I was so hungry for God. I had my Bible in there. I had it open to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter, and every time, when it wasn't busy, I wasn't neglecting my duties, all right? Every time I had to pass by that closet, I'd walk into that little closet real quick, and I would pray that prayer, what I'm getting ready to read to you. I'd pray Ephesians 1 from my heart, and then I'd pray Ephesians 3. Then I'd go take the dishes. Sometimes when I came back, I'd go back in there again and pray Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, because I was so hungry for God. I'm telling you, when you pray this prayer with hunger, it'll change your life. I said it'll change your life. I would encourage you to pray this prayer, these prayers on a regular basis. Amen. So in Ephesians 1, starting with verse 17, he says, this is what he prays for the church at Ephesus. You can pray it for yourself. You can pray it for people you've led to Christ. I pray it for my partners. I pray it for all the churches that are being established in India and Africa. I pray it for my family, and I pray it for me because I'm hungry. I can put myself in there with them all. What's it say? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amplified says, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. See, God wants you to know him. You exist to know him, not about him, to know him. That's why you're here. That's why you're alive. You exist to know him. Amen. And Proverbs 2 says, if you search for it, if you search like hidden treasure, like gold and like silver, and you cry out, Lord, it says you'll find the knowledge of God. You'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God. Sorry. We can turn my microphone off. I can preach without the microphone. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Thank God she's healthy. He's healthy. Amen. No, notice what he prays, that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. The eyes of your heart, well, says that your eyes, what's it say? To be enlightened. I always pray it and quote it out of the Amplified. The eyes of your heart to be flooded with light. Amen. What's it say back there in 2 Corinthians 4? Huh? It is God who caused light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. Here it says he's praying that the eyes of our heart would be flooded with light. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. A spirit of revelation is a spirit of seeing. God wants you to see. Amen. In fact, where it says the eyes of your heart to be flooded with light. That is the Greek word photizo. I think I might have said that last time I was here, but it bears repeating. Photizo. It's where we get the word photograph. It's where we get the word picture. God wants pictures flooding your being. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Because one of the things in there, it says that you would know what is the hope of his calling. What he has for you to do in the future. The big picture is what he wants you to become in the future. And that's like Jesus. But specifically what he has for you to do. What assignment do you have? What is there for you to do? Amen. When I was praying in tongues a lot and meditating in the word in Cumbres, Mexico, in our bedroom when Victoria was in New York, I had a lot of free time because I didn't have to chase Nicholas anymore because he was at that age where he was just going everywhere. And she went to New York to have her next child, and I had extra time, especially during siesta time. Everyone's sleeping, and I wasn't but much. And I would just meditate in his word about who he is in me, who's living in me. And that would just get me so fired up and pumped up, I just couldn't help myself. But I'd just pray in tongues for a while, crying out to God, oh, I want to know you. I want your presence in my life. I want your plan for my life. I want you. When suddenly, I could take you to the very spot. I was lying on my face, and suddenly I saw what I'm doing today. Not this moment, but in our ministry. Doing crusades around the world. Saw it. Knowing on the inside I was to base out of Tulsa. Knowing it. At the time, trying to preach a crusade? No, couldn't do it. I could teach. Couldn't preach a crusade. That was in 96. Started to come to pass in 2001. But what happened? I saw it. Amen. Victoria just shared on Facebook recently how years ago when the boys were little, when she'd be praying, every once in a while she'd see flashes of all of them being musicians. She saw it. She would just see it from time to time. Just see it. Amen. So she took note of it, made sure they got some lessons. Praise God. Now they're all three musicians. Amen. He plays. Our son Samuel just made the ORU traveling band. Amen. They go for 4 weeks to another nation. And praise God. And then our youngest is also playing in a band. So, I mean, thank God. Amen. Well, how did it happen? Where did it start? Saw something. God wants our eyes, the eyes of our spirit, to see what he is doing. But I'd say there's something greater than knowing what he's doing. It's knowing him himself in the knowledge of him. Can you say amen? Now, go to the end of this. There's many things he prays in there. The hope of his calling. We would know the hope of his calling. The three big things he praises. We would know the hope of his calling. That we would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance that he has placed in you, inside of you. Huge, glorious, rich inheritance inside of you. And then number three, the big thing is that you would know the surpassing greatness of his power. Amplified says unlimited, immeasurable, surpassing greatness of his power that's in you and for you who believes. Woo! Yeah. According to the working of his mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you and is there for your use. Wow. Can you say amen? He wants you to know it. He wants you to have a spirit of revelation, but he also wants you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, how to apply it in your life. But now, notice the end of it. Different translations word it differently, but this is just profound. Think about this. Now, let me just say this. This prayer here, Paul is praying that we would have a revelation of what is legally ours in Christ. What has been accomplished for us in Christ. He wants us to know it and how to apply it. Here's one of the things he wants us to know. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things for the church or to the church for the benefit of the church. Now notice this, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Everyone say the church, which is his body. Amen. T.L. Osborne used to say this. He used to say, God says, give me your flesh and I'll give you my spirit and then we'll have a Christian. Give me your flesh, your body. I'll give you my spirit. Put the two together and we'll have a Christian. See, Jesus reigns, yes, he does, at the right hand of God the Father with his glorified, resurrected body in heaven. Here on earth, you are his body through the Holy Spirit. He resides in you. You. What color are his eyes? Depends on what color eyes you have. Brown, blue, green, hazel. He lives in you. Now look. Notice what it says here. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him, notice, who fills all in all. What's that mean? One translation says it like this. Who fills every part in every member. One translation says, who fills everything in everyone. See, we are his body. Through his Holy Spirit, he is here, and potentially, it's yours. It belongs to you. He fills every part of your being if you'll yield, if you'll let him take over. Can you say amen? Now, go to Ephesians 3 real quick. I don't want to go too long here. Let's try to move. I'll try to move a little faster. Try. Ephesians 3. Are you with me? Now, here's another prayer. What a powerful prayer. In this prayer, he is praying that you would experience what legally belongs to you. Ephesians 1, he's praying that you would have revelation of what belongs to you. Here he's praying that you begin to experience what belongs to you because of what he's done. Amen. And so what does he say? Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Glory. Colossians, the prayer in Colossians says that you would be strengthened with all might. Wow. All might. Not just a little dabble, do you? All might. Glory to God. Woo. Are you listening? Now, look at this. Strengthened with all might through his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. This is the phrase that's just really been standing out in me lately. Listen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Because he's not writing this to the elementary class at the Church of Ephesus, teaching the children, where does Jesus live? Oh, Jesus lives in my heart. He is writing, and I'm not belittling that, I'm trying to make a point here. He is writing that to the most mature, the most established, the strongest church of the day. It was a spiritual hub. Ministers were based out of there and they would travel. This was the base through which all the other churches in modern day Turkey were established. These aren't baby Christians he's talking to. And yet he prays for them that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. So to me, there's something more to it than just saying, well, where does Jesus live? He lives in my heart. Well, he does. But I believe there's more in this passage. Or else why would he bother even praying it? Amen. Glory to God. I believe, now, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. Just my opinion. You check it out for yourself. And if we had more time, and if I felt we were supposed to go this direction, maybe we could give you a more detailed study of why I believe it. But it's okay. It's all right. Just get the spirit of it. Number one, where we begin the process, yes, we've been born again. And yes, we accept by faith Christ lives in my heart. He's in here. Amen. We begin the journey of endeavoring to know him more by realizing and accepting the fact by faith before we feel anything, before we see anything, before we experience anything, by faith, Christ does live in me. I am in him. He's in me. I'm a new creature. Can you say amen? However, I also believe, because faith is a producer, that it's also saying here that because of your faith, because of the eye of faith, and you're gazing on him, and you believe, and you say, he's there, he's in you, and you yield your heart to him, and you surrender to him, and you spend time with him, that he begins to dwell not just in your spirit, but in your spirit and your soul, which comprises the heart. The inward man, the whole inward man, not just the spirit, but the spirit and the soul. And he begins to overtake you and possess you, bringing into reality what belongs to us as revealed in Ephesians 1. Christ, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills every part in every member. See, that's not everyone's experience. It's obvious. Get around Christians. Get around me. He's not filling every part of me yet. I'm not fully experiencing his filling yet. Are you listening? But it's mine. It belongs to me. It's my inheritance. And the more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I hang out with him, the more he rubs off on me. It's like a guy who goes into a bar. He might have just taken a shower. He might smell great. He's got all, you know, whatever. He's got eternity cologne on. He's brushed his teeth. He's got nice hair and everything. He goes in a bar and hangs out for a few hours, comes out smelling like nicotine. And he didn't even smoke, just hung out with people who did. It gets on you. The presence of God, it'll work in you. It'll get around you. It'll get on you. It'll get so thick on you that people get in your shadow and they get healed. That does happen. Do you realize that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get around people, and while you're preaching the word, suddenly people see Jesus in you. They see him, literally. They have a vision of him living in you, coming out of your eyes, coming out of your voice. Your face begins to glow. It happens. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be awesome if the teenagers of this church, when they went to school, they were so full of God, people would stop and say, what happened to you? You're glowing. What's going on? Did you know it can happen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Now, what's the end result? Let's just look at the rest of the prayer. Where does he live? Where does he live? In you, in your heart, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Accept it. Accept it. He's there. Accept it by faith before you experience anything. Believe it. If you've accepted him, if you've received him as your Lord and Savior, he's there. Let me just clarify something here. Don't ever teach your children to say, Jesus is in my heart, if they've never been born again. Because then they grow up believing a lie. They must come to a point where they believe, oh, I need to accept Jesus. I need to receive him because I'm a sinner. Amen. People do that. So don't do that. Amen. Once they accept him, yeah. Woo, he's in your heart. Okay, he's in me. Now I'm giving myself over to him. Now look at this, Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able, look at this, may be able to comprehend with all saints. I like how this a different translation says, and I'll just say it. How high, how deep, how long, and how wide his love for you really is. Wow. And then it goes on to say that you may know the love of Christ. Can you please read it in the Amplified, that phrase?
19.
Yes, sir.
That you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience.
Did you hear that? He wants you to know by experience the love of Christ. Say, well, I'm not experiencing that. Pray the prayer. Pray the prayer with all of your heart. And God will answer your prayer because this is his will. Huh? This is his will. It's inspired by the Holy Ghost. It applies to us today. Now think about this. Where does he dwell? In your heart. And you're going to experience the love of Christ. If you're going to experience the love of Christ, where are you going to experience it? In your heart. Because that's where he is. And then what happens? You are filled unto all the fullness of God. You have the richest measure of the divine presence. And you become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. I'm telling you, if you do not know how to pray, that's okay. Start right there in Ephesians chapter 3. Holy cow. Are you listening to me? What better prayer can there be prayed? You say, well, I need healing in my body. I'm telling you, fill and flow with all the fullness of God, that disease is gone. Oh, man. I've got to stay over here on this side of the church. Hallelujah. Are you listening? I mean, this is the cry of our hearts. Just pray this prayer with all of your heart until you begin to experience it. And after you experience it, you'll start praying it some more. Hallelujah. You say, well, God answer my prayer? Verse 20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Oh, he wants us to experience him. Where does he live? He lives in us. He lives in us. Oh, there's so much more. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. I don't want to go too long. I could go, you know, me. I could literally go a couple more hours. But then we wouldn't have time to praise the Lord. Well, we would have time to praise the Lord, but we would think we don't have time to praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, we're not going to talk about the we're not going to read the whole chapter, but it is a chapter that really challenged me, still challenges me. Why? Because it says that the glory that we have as the church far surpasses the glory that they had with Moses. And I'm talking about the Moses who came down glowing, and the mountain is shaking, and there's thunders and lightnings and fire and loud voices, and I mean, you talk about a manifest presence of God, huh? And he has the audacity to say, our glory is greater. Well, it's the word of God, so it's true. He says it like 3 or 4 times. It's far better. It's greater. It remains. That passed away. This is a greater glory. You read it. We don't have time. But it's awesome. So I was like, Lord, how can this be? I mean, let's be honest about it. I read about more glory in there than I am seeing in my life and in the life of Christians. I said, how? How's that possible? The Lord said, it's in there. Read it. Look at it. It's there. So I read it. And right there it was. There it is. Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. How's that there? How does that answer the question? It's very simple. Moses operated and reflected and possessed the measure of glory that he did is because of all the time he spent in the presence of God, even under an inferior covenant. The reason why we have a greater glory, but we're not seeing it in manifestation to the degree that Moses did, is because we're not hanging out on Mount Sinai for 40 days at a time. But we have a greater glory. The potential's there. I mean, he was up on that mountain for 40 days. He receives the law, the Ten Commandments, and many explanations around those Ten Commandments. And he comes down and they're committing, practicing idolatry, gets angry and throws down the tablets and breaks them and executes judgment and all this stuff. And then what happens? He goes back up to that mountain for 40 more days and says, Lord, show me your glory. And after the 80th day of being up there, I don't know how long between the 240, but he wasn't down there that long. After the second set of 40 days, he comes down glowing because he had been in that presence for that long, as a spiritually dead man, not born again, not even born again. We are born again, and that God that appeared to him on Mount Sinai is the very God who's living inside of you and me. Inside of you and me. Are you listening to me? Oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So we need to behold that glory. See, God couldn't live inside of Moses, couldn't live inside of the children of Israel because they were spiritually dead. Blood, the blood of Jesus had not been shed yet. Now that same God lives inside of us and empowers us to live according to that law he gave them. We're not trying to be reformed from the outside in. We're being transformed from the inside out. Can you say amen? Now, Now, again, read 2 Corinthians 4:6 in the light of what we just talked about. And in the light of chapter 3, verse 18. For it is the God who commands light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in our hearts. We got to stop and learn to behold him who lives inside of us. Because when we behold him, we become like him. We behold him two ways. Number one, by looking at his holy written word and realizing what his character is like, what his nature is like, what he's made us to be through redemption and the fact that he's living inside of us. And number two, we behold him by looking inside of us, getting still and acknowledging his presence, gazing upon his presence with the eye of faith. That same Jesus in Revelation 1 that Pastor Barbara was talking about, that she was seeing him as eyes, those blazing eyes of fire. That's the God, that's the Jesus who's living inside of you. He's inside of you. Hallelujah. Are you listening? John 17. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. John 17. Here, Jesus is praying for you. How do we know that? He says, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Notice what he prays. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Now, traditionally, this is preached that this is talking about unity between all the denominations. Unity among the brethren. And there's some truth to that, but there's a deeper truth. It is union with God he's talking about. Union with the Father. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason why you and I experience unity is because we're both one with him. Amen? Then keep reading. That they would be one. To what degree? As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. That they may be one in us. Keep reading. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Oh, I'm telling you, as you and I begin to experience our union with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, vitally, in experience, progressively, we are one with him. But as we begin to partake of it more and more and more, the world around us is going to be able to, they're going to see Jesus. They're going to realize Jesus is the Messiah. Because they come in contact with him through you. Now keep reading. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Oh, hallelujah. One with God. Then he clarifies what that is. I in them. The glory which you've given me, I have given them. This is what it is. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, or complete, mature. The more you walk in that reality with the acknowledgement, with the realization, practicing the presence of the reality that he's in you, the more you'll mature in him. Now notice that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Now look at verse 24. This is powerful. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. If you like to write in your Bible, circle where. Where I am. That they may behold my glory which you have given me. Now read this with 2 Corinthians 3:18 in mind. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, that you understand, that implies from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Ever-increasing degree of glory to the next degree of glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, so, notice this. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's two meanings there. Of course, Jesus is looking for that day. He's longing for it. He's going to come get his church and bring us to himself. Amen. He's prepared mansions for us. Well, actually, let me clarify that. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He didn't say we all get one. There's a lot of them there. Amen. I believe not everyone will live in a mansion because they lived for their own purposes. But he is looking for that day. And in that day, think about it. We're going to be astonished for eternity. Not 7 days, eternity. Looking at him. How about those four living creatures? Revelation 4. You ever read the description of those crazy things? Head of a man, head of an ox, head of a lion, and the head of an eagle. And they have 6 wings. Yeah? But here's the craziest part of it all. They all have eyes within and without, all of before, in front of them, behind them, under their wings, around their wings. All of their whole body's covered with eyes. God created them that way. For what purpose? To look at God. To look at God. That's their purpose. They look at God day and night. And every moment of every day, they're having another encounter, another revelation. And they say, he's holy. He's holy. Wow, isn't that something? But back here, and I promise, I'm going to be done with this verse here, because I do want to worship a little bit. He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Yes, there's a day coming. We will be literally standing in front of his throne. But what about right now? Because 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all right now with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Huh? What about right now? Where is he? He says in verse 24, that they may be with me where I am. Right now, where I am. Where is he right now? Verse 23, I in them. That's where he is. I in them. I in them. You get in the Bible and you discover what he's like. He's the first. He's the last. He is the Amen. He's the bright and morning star. He is the great I am. He is the Lord who heals you. He is the Lord who provides for you. He is the soon and coming King. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the shepherd of my soul. He's my Savior. He's my great high priest, my mediator, my intercessor. He's my judge. He's my advocate. He's the Lamb of God who shed his blood to take away the sins of the world. He's the Lion of Judah. And it goes on and on and on. He never had a beginning and he'll never have an end. In fact, he inhabits eternity. He doesn't live in time. Time lives in him. Time lives in him. It's like you have this phone right here, like this, and there's I'm way, 2 miles that way and 2 miles that way. Here's time. That's eternity. Time lives in him. He has eyes like a flame of fire. He's the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Counselor, Wonder. I mean, just go on and on and on and on. And his love for us, and his grace, and his patience, and his kindness, and his holiness, his justice. Behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. I mean, there's just so much, and he's all of that inside of you. Behold him as in a mirror. This is not easy, but we need to learn to do it. withdraw from the external, the things around us, and draw near to the one who's living in us, worshiping, meditating on his word until his presence comes, and then be still and gaze and drink. Are you listening to me? If it was easy, we would all be spiritual giants by now. But we need to go after it. Yeah. Amen? We need to go after it. Can you say amen? Yes. See, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants you to behold his glory. He wants you to know him. I shared with in Mexico, well, a lot of this I shared in Mexico, but a few years ago, I'm thinking around 2006, I have it written down somewhere. I'm on the terrace in India. No, I'm not on the terrace in India. I'm in a very dirty room somewhere in India, praying extra, fasting a little bit. And the room was so dirty, I had to end my fast early, though, because I got a sinus infection, breathing in the horrible air. So, I mean, you know, I was doing good. I wasn't even hungry anymore. I had to make myself eat when I got back. But in that time, the main thing I got out of that, that God's purpose for my life is not crusades. He's called me to do crusades. Yeah, that is a purpose. But my highest purpose and your highest purpose, all of our purpose, is to know God. To know him. I'm telling you, I believe, I know, I've been sharing, talking with your pastors here, and just sensing even what's going on when I come now, since 2 years ago. I know something is brewing big right here in Douglas, Arizona. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's just different. I know it. I know. I've been coming for a lot of years, and something has changed. There's something is different. But I'm telling you, what is going to compel us there to get to that place that God's want, I believe, that God is wanting you all to have? I'm telling you, it's a people who live for no other reason but to know him. And out of that knowing, making him known. I mean, we want to know him. I mean, how else can I say it? And therefore, we do what it takes to know him. I got to know my wife, and I still am getting to know my wife after 21 years. You know, men are from Mars, and women are from whatever. That book. But I'm telling you, the more I'm married to her, the more I spend time with her, the more I look her in the face when we talk, the more I get to know her. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, there's only one way to know God. Only one way. Spend time. That's it. There's no other way. Amen. So let's just do that. Let's just spend time. You know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. It's amazing what God can do with you. If you're so aware of him, and you have a very busy day, you say, well, Lord, you know, I can't really even arrange this schedule today, but I have 5 minutes. And you get on your knees, say, Lord, I want to know you. Make yourself real to me. Let your fire be on my life. May I be aware of your presence even as I go about this business. It's amazing what God will do for that. Man, let's stand and worship.